Like Molly said, God made hell, made it for the devil and his angels. My daughter ran into a man yesterday, and she was talking to an elderly woman. And they was talking about heaven, and he interrupted them. And his perception of God was that God wouldn't send nobody to hell. My daughter had been taught enough to say God doesn't send people to hell, sin does. God made heaven for you, son. And He made heaven for me. And He wants all to go to heaven. And all should. Those that miss heaven will miss it all. I mean, it's wonderful down here. I like it down here. You like it down here. Make no mistake about it. God formed the earth. He formed it to be inhabited. He put man upon it. I'm not in outer space. I won't float. I've got gravity. Just enough gravity. Exactly the right amount. I've got air. I don't need a space suit. Just exactly the right amount of air. There's an ozone up there that separates this heaven from the next heaven, the second heaven. And then there's another one called the third heaven. God said He put a firmament up there to separate the waters from above, from beneath. They call it an ozone. God called it a firmament. You can call it whatever you want to. I really don't think we're to be piercing holes through it. And man makes efforts to reach heaven, and that's what it's all about. They think somehow they're going to stumble into heaven, say, we found it, come on. If they could, they'd be a thief and a robber. If they could climb up some other way, Jesus said they'd be a thief and a robber. Why not just take God's way? Why spend fortunes trying to get to heaven apart from God when God made the way for all to come? And that way is through His Son, Jesus. But we're preaching a series. When I say a series, there's just so much to say about heaven, I don't even think you could even contain it. In any series, we're just scratching the surface, entertaining the thought. But we'll take our text out of Hebrews chapter number 11. And for sake of time, I'm going to skip around a little bit. I'm going to read verse 8 through 10, verses 14 and verse 16. The Bible says, by faith. And without faith, you're not going to move. You're just going to dwell where you're at. But faith that Abraham had moved him. I heard a preacher preach this morning, and I enjoyed the thought. He said back before the flood of Noah's day, they were sacrificing their children to devils. They do a lot of it today. But he said, wouldn't it be something if the devil come up to God and said, look what they're doing for me. They're giving their children to me. And he said, God told Abraham to go offer up Isaac, and he never missed a step. Immediately, he started getting stuff together. God didn't let him sacrifice Isaac, but he said, don't tell me that you got something on me. And boy, what a beautiful picture of Christ is in that. But I like that thought. That was Ron Ralph from down in Cornerstone Church down in Carthage, Tennessee. And I like that thought. He said, don't tell me they don't love me more than you. But by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance. Now, Molly, I don't have heaven right now, but it is an inheritance that I got through Christ, incorruptible, undefiled, kept by the power of God, waiting for me, according to Peter there. I do have an inheritance. I come in this world with nothing, but I'm leaving with everything, amen. Well, Abraham here, he got up and obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. Now, I don't know exactly all the paths that are between me and heaven. I just know where it's going to end. And verse 10 or verse 9 says, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country. The Bible says we're strangers and sojourners. This ain't our home. We're in a journey. He dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. I want to skip verse 11 through 13. Verse 14 says, "For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country." I want to read verse 16. "But now they desire a better country, that is unheavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city." In verse 40, we'll just throw that in. I didn't really have that wrote in here. But verse 40 says, "God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect." We'll stop right there and pray with me. We'll preach today and wait till you see what God calls heaven. Father, Lord, we ask for your help this morning. Peter said, "Let every man minister as the Lord gives ability." And your word says in Romans 10, "How shall they hear without a preacher?" Your word says that you chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And we ask, dear Father, for thy help this morning, that you might help these lips of clay, Lord, that they might speak clearly. And Lord, I pray you pull back, Lord, I pray, the veil, Lord, that separates us between here and heaven, and let us look in just a little bit, Lord, by way of the Spirit, that, Lord, makes all things known to us through the mind of Christ. I pray, dear Father God, for those that are here this morning lost, that, Lord, you would let a little bit of heaven, Lord, I pray, get a hold of them, that, Lord, they want to make preparation, Lord, to have, Lord, a home, have a place in that blessed place. Whatever you do, Lord, we'll thank you and we'll praise you and we'll give you all the glory. We'll ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As we read this little bit here, just talking about heaven, I'm actually going to take my text out of Revelations. And we'll be reading quite a bit of the book of Revelations in our text. But I want to talk a little bit about what John had about say about heaven. Let me say a little bit about John. John is a type of a church. He's not like the other 11 disciples at all. He's known as that disciple whom Jesus loved, mentioned in John 19:26 and all through John. But also Jesus, when He told Peter concerning John, when Peter turned and pointed to John, and Peter said, "What about this disciple?" And Jesus told Peter, "If I will that he tarry till I come, what's that to thee?" John 21, verse 22. Now, he's a type of the church because he's known as a disciple whom Jesus loved. And the Bible says Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, Ephesians 5:25. John, being a type of the church, he's exiled on the Isle of Patmos. He's exiled for the Word of God and for the testimony of Jesus. Now, the reason he's exiled on the Isle of Patmos, and you turn to Revelations, I'm just commenting right now, but the reason he's exiled is because they scared death of him. They tried to kill him and they couldn't. They didn't know what to do with him, but they wanted to get rid of him, so they took him out there on this island and they left him there. If you know much about Fox's Book of Martyrs, they tried to cook John in oil, and it didn't have no effect on him. And they scared of him. I don't guess they want it known, but they're scared of you and me too. You don't think they are. Just go out Walmart day and talk about Jesus, see how much floor they give you. If you ever get somebody around, you want to get rid of them? I've done this. It's probably not good. Just mention the name of Jesus. They're gone. I got to go. Oh, see you later. Bye. I don't like doing that, but if somebody does get on my last nerve, I say, "Has anybody ever told you about Jesus?" I got to go. See you later. I got an appointment. I think I heard somebody call my name. Well, that's what they done with John here. They took him out on the isle that's called Patmos, verse 9. And he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and so am I, and I hope you are too. This is the Lord's day, and I tell you right now, buddy, I like the Spirit of God. Amen. It's a blessing, amen, to have the Spirit of God. Romans chapter number 8 says, God gave us of His Spirit, and His Spirit bears witness with our spirit, amen, that we are the children of God, amen. Somebody said, hey, you know you're saved. It's like flying a kite. Every now and then I feel a little tired, amen. John said, Brother Melvin, he said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day in verse number 10. But I'll tell you this, if you do have the testimony of Jesus, if you do have the Word of God, you ain't going to fit in down here. The world, they're going to distance themselves from you. My family, we used to have family reunions till I got saved. Nobody knew how to handle that. Because they knew if we had a family reunion, I was coming. And I was going to get them and tell them about Jesus, William. And all of a sudden, they all started getting sick. They all of a sudden had plans, couldn't come. Car trouble. Heart trouble. We just stopped having family reunions. Jesus is a rock of offense, a stone of stumbling. He separates even the chiefest of friends. All my friends disown me. They're all dead. I don't know why I'm alive, but they're all dead. They chose a different path. The Bible says the way of transgressors is hard. And Keith, they went that hard way. I watched them die one by one. I remember going to their funerals and I looked at them laying in a coffin. They were young. They didn't choose the good way. They didn't want nothing to do with Jesus. I'll tell you what, I don't know whether I chose Him or He chose me, but I'll tell you one thing. I'm glad, praise God, I know Him. Amen. I'm glad, praise God, I'm not ashamed of Him.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus said, if we're ashamed of Him, He'd be ashamed of us when He comes. I'm not ashamed of Him. That's why I put them signs on the side of my car. It's funny to watch people. They get up behind, they get on your bumper, and they read it, they take out flying. And I see their mouth doing this right here. And they do this gesture. Holding forth the word of life by way of magnetic sign. My car, it ain't got nothing metal on it but the very back. I put a few on there. And I'll tell you what, I heard David Ives preach one time. He said when he first got saved, he said, I was still shooting up. I was still a hippie. Had long hair and a beard and ragged clothes. And he said, God got me off of the dope. But he said, I really hadn't changed the way I looked on the outside. And he said, I was trying to live for God, trying to do right. And he said, I was hitchhiking down the road because I lost my car because I couldn't make the payments on it because I'd spent all the bank's money on dope and drugs and drink. And he said, this truck driver picked me up. He said, we was going down the road. He said, you got any dope? He said, but I don't smoke dope. I'm saved. And that truck driver said, well, you look like somebody that smoked dope. And he said a lost man got through a saved man's mind that the outside didn't line up with the inside. You know, our lives ought to line up with our lips, but also our outward appearance ought to line up with what's on the inward. Amen? I mean, I don't want to come in here with cowboy boots on and a cowboy hat. Hey, come in here. I'll tell you right now, I got the utmost respect for God, for the place of the pulpit. I'll tell you right now, I got the utmost respect for the Word of God. I still remember, even as a lost man, when I went to church with my family, I put on the best I had. Amen. David F. said, the next time anybody saw him, he had a haircut. He said his pastor had never made an issue out of it because he knew that he just got saved. And I kind of agree with that because it does take time as newborn babes desire to see the milk of the Word. But you may grow thereby, and you do need to grow to that stature of perfectionist. the stature of Christ, holiness, without which no man will see the Lord. But that growth period there, it hadn't fully accomplished itself in David's life. But he said after he cleaned up, people started wanting to ask him to go with them out on visitation. He said before they kind of shunned him a little bit. And he saved, had a zeal, not according to knowledge, but he had a zeal, tried to tell people about Jesus. When he got cleaned up, they started inviting him to go out with them on visitation, go out and try to tell people about Jesus. And I kind of agree with that. But it takes a little while. My pastor preached revival one time, and there was a man come in that revival, had great old big long hair. He thought it was a woman till he turned around. And he was sitting on the second pew back, and all the preachers was over here, and they was whispering. My pastor, he knew they was all uncomfortable about this man being there with the long hair. The pastor was offended about the fact of him being there, and Rick didn't even. Matter of fact, that night he just preached on preachers and church members and how we need to have a different attitude towards lost people. And out of his amazement, that man jumped over the pew, squalled out, hit the altar, and got saved. Come to meet the next night. Rick said, do I know you? He said, I got saved last night. They tried to give him a business card. He looked different, amen. He's a new creature, amen. He looked different. Nobody knew him without all that long hair. And they wanted to have fellowship with him now. Well, they shook his hand now. They're glad to see him now. And I do believe we ought to look, not just play the part, amen. Well, John here, He wouldn't back down any. The world didn't know what to do with John. So the world took John out there and left him on the Isle of Patmos, and there he is, amen. And he's on the Spirit. He's in the Spirit on the Lord's day, amen. Hey, look here. I want to start reading right here. John says, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that's called Patmos for the word of God, for the testimony of Jesus. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Omega, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia and Ephesus unto Samaria and Pergamos and unto Thessalonica and to Sardis and to Philadelphia and unto Laodicea. He said, I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot of the girt, about paps with a golden girdle, and his head and his hairs were white as wool, and white like the snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto a fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters, and he had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun that shineth in his strength. In verse 17, for all of you that know nothing about God, he said, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. Now, John saved. John loves the Lord. And all of a sudden now, he sees God like he's never saw Him before. He sees His eyes red. There is a flame of fire. He sees His hair white as snow. He sees the garment He's got on. And the two-edged sword, I think that's a reference to the Word of God. Out of His mouth went the Word of God. And it may not be. Maybe He did have a two-edged sword. I know the Bible said that the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. But I'll tell you one thing. His countenance was as a sun that shineth in His strength. And it was just overwhelming for even saved John. And you're going to stand before God one day and give Him your excuse for not getting saved? Here's a saved man, fell down like a dead man at the presence of this Christ, this resurrected Christ. And I'll tell you right now, it was more than he could bear. He fell at his feet as dead, amen. So you think about that when you think about you're going to go up to talk to God and tell Him all your reasons for not getting saved and all your reasons for not living for God, just remember how John did when he saw Him. That's what you're going to see. Now we're going to go to Revelation chapter 4. And I'll be pretty much reading 11 verses. And then we'll go to Revelation 21. And I'll finish up Revelation 25. That's why I said there's just a lot to it. It's kind of hard to condense down and put it in a can. John, like Paul, after he hears this discourse about all the churches and they're all in disarray, after this, he said, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard were as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And verse 2 is very significant. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. Round about the throne were 24 and 20 seats. Upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal in the midst of the throne. Round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf. The third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts each had on them 6 wings round about him, and they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. John here, he sees all of this. And as he's recording this, we're allowed to see it by his writing. And verse 9 said, when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to Him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him that sat on the throne and worship Him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Now, everything is making sense. From a perspective of heaven, now you know why things are and were created. Now you've got perfect knowledge. Now you see things for what they really are. And now here John, he's in the Spirit. He's been in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He's called to come up hither. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 8, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's what John is. He's in the Spirit. He's seeing things from a spiritual aspect. Not in flesh, but in spirit. He's in heaven. He's, I don't know, in a trance, a vision, or walking. I don't know. I've never been to heaven. I know one thing. He said, he heard a voice say, come up hither. And he said, immediately, I was in the Spirit. And behold, first thing he sees is a throne. And the throne is set in heaven. And there's somebody sitting on that throne. And according to what I read, it's Jesus. Amen. And they're worshiping Him, Molly. And Rick said, one reason you want a gold crown is so you can throw it down at the feet of Jesus. And the Bible says, I saw Him coming, and on His head were many crowns. Amen. That may be another kind of crown, but it may be He's wearing the crowns that they cast towards Him as He comes to lay hold on that dragon, that old devil. But I'll tell you one thing, I do want to have something to give Him. If I do have a golden crown, I'll have something fit to give a king down here. I've never met a king. And I heard this, it's an old story. Some of you have heard it more than once. Maybe some of you have never heard it. But I heard this on the radio one time, and it's a true fact. Arnold Palmer played golf in Arabia. He was summoned to go over there and play golf, and Arnold Palmer loved to play golf. He went over there, and when he went over to play golf, Molly, the king of Arabia come out to watch Arnold Palmer play golf. And as Arnold Palmer played golf, the king had Arnold Palmer brought to him. And Arnold Palmer stood before the king of Arabia, and the king of Arabia, Linda, told Arnold Palmer, he said, I enjoyed watching you play golf, and I want to give you a gift. And Arnold Palmer declined and said, King, I appreciate the offer, but I don't need anything. This is what I do for a living. I enjoy playing golf. But Linda, the king, insisted. He said, no, I insist. I want to give you a gift. And Arnold Palmer said, again, I want to say I appreciate the offer, but I don't need anything. I don't want anything. Thank you for the offer. And the king said, I insist. I want to give you a gift. And Arnold Palmer, being like you and me, an old country boy, I guess, William, he said, well, King, if you want to give me a gift, just give me a golf club. That'll be fine. Just give me a golf club. And the king of Arabia gave Arnold Palmer a golf club, Linda, a $6 million golf club with 18 holes, a motel, and a swimming pool, because a king is measured by the gift that he gives. And a king does not give a small gift. And the King of Kings is going to give out gifts. And I can only imagine how great they'll be. Amen. Amen. But that really did happen. I heard that driving home work one day on a Christian radio station. I said, wow. Man, why don't they tell that on the news? Amen. Amen. But anyway, praise God. I tell you, John saw Jesus. He saw Him on the throne. He saw Him being worshipped. And he saw Him, amen, throw their crowns down at His feet. And they said, worthy amen. Are you to be receive glory and honor. He's definitely worthy. Rick said, two young boys got saved. And they got a burden for lost souls. And there was an infidel. I don't know why, it seems like all the infidels are rich. But anyway, Brother Melvin, this infidel, he is really rich, and he bought this island. And he hated God so bad, he bought this island just to get away from someone giving him a tract, or someone telling him that he needed Jesus, or he needed to get saved. And all his efforts, the only time he'd come to the world was to get supplies. And he gave them strict instruction, go in, get what we need, and leave. And that's it. These two young boys sold themselves to be his slaves for one purpose, to get the gospel on that God-forsaken island. And those two young boys, as they left on the ship, their mother and father, their tears flying everywhere, cupped their hand. Here's what they said, Keith. He's worthy to receive the reward of His suffering. And that was the last words they heard their two sons say. And He is worthy to receive the reward of His suffering. But oh, what a noble calling they had in their heart to try to get the gospel, the Word of God, not only where it was needed, but where it wasn't wanted, just needed, amen. And they took light out there to that darkened island, amen, for the hope that they might get someone saved. Boy, I tell you, men, they hate light. The Bible said they love darkness. And the reason they love it is because their deeds are evil. It says, neither come they to the light, lest their deeds be reproved. They hate light. They want nobody to tell them something's wrong. And for what it's worth, Molly, I don't even know if anything in America's wrong anymore. I think we've got too much freedom. And the only thing I see them doing in America that's detrimental to America is they're trying to muzzle the ox, they're trying about the corn. They're trying to tell men what they can preach, what they can't preach. They're trying to dictate the church. I do believe in separation of church and state in that matter. I didn't know this till we had that funeral of a military man, lowest member of this church. We went up there to Nancy. I rode up there with the funeral director in the hearse. We rode up there and talked all the way up there. I told him we got up there. I said, "This is a military funeral?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, you're going to notice something when we get there." He said, "What's that?" I said, "Not one single cross." He said, "No kidding." I said, "Yeah, the ACLU sued to have all the crosses removed." Well, I got up there and all the men are standing there in line to get the casket out and great honor bestowed upon the fallen. And when we got all that said and done, got that sit down, I talked to those soldiers. I said, "You notice anything different around here?" They said, "No, what?" I said, "You see a cross anywhere?" And they looked around and they didn't know it neither. I said, "The ACLU sued to have all the crosses removed. Because the Bible said that they enemies of the cross. They don't want the cross to be anywhere. They're suing right now. A cross erected World War I. They're suing to have it removed right now. As we speak, they're suing. It's been up there over 100 years. Yeah. Enemies of the cross. Those soldiers didn't know it. Arlington Cemetery does not have one single cross in it. They took all them perfectly placed, like soldiers, straight as a gun barrel, crosses out and put headstones. Don't offend no one. I got news for them, buddy. When Jesus shows up, we'll see who's offended. Amen. If anyway, John here, he sees Jesus. He sees him on the cross. And up in heaven, I mean, he sees him on the throne, not on the cross. Up in heaven, praise God. He's on the throne. Amen. That's higher than every other throne. The throne. Amen. That every knee's going to bow. And every tongue's going to confess that He is Lord. Amen. He's on that throne. John sees that. And then John 21. I'm going to skip a bunch of revelations because for one thing, it's a lot of territory. Another thing is, it's kind of repeating itself as you read Revelation. It's a repetition, kind of like Genesis, the account of creation. But here in Revelation 21, John sees the new heaven. He says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they will be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes.'" One thing about heaven, and there will be a lot of tears. But I promise you this, if my mother is not in heaven, I'll say amen. God is so gracious. God is so good. He's the God that gave Jezebel space to repent, that went on to say that she repented not. And I'll promise you this, my loving mother, if she's not in heaven, He may have wiped tears from my eyes, but I'll say amen. He's righteous in everything He does. Someone said, "How do people go to hell?" I'll tell you how they go to hell. Because they won't let Jesus be their Lord and Savior. They're wanting darkness instead of light. They're wanting sin instead of righteousness. They're wanting to go the way of the world instead of the way of God. But there's going to be a lot of tears in heaven. There's going to be a lot of vacant seats in heaven. You know, heaven's a big place. It's 1,500 miles each way. And yet there's still room. There's room enough for everyone that's ever breathed a breath of air to live in heaven. Preparations have been made. Invitations have been given. God even told us to go out in the hedges and highways and compel Him to come in, that His house may be filled. Like Brother Melvin said, we need to be going. We need to find them. Find that one that's nearest hell and tell them they don't have to go. God didn't make hell for no one but the devil. There will not be no one in hell but the devil and his angels. But the Bible said, Paul said that we're not ignorant of Satan's devices, and Satan's got all kinds of means now in this last Laodicean age where the church is so asleep and so lukewarm and so, I guess, unconcerned about lost souls. Boy, if you're doing nothing else, you're to pray and ask God for a burden. You're to ask God to give you a burden. I remember one time I asked God to give me for a burden for someone. And Brother Melvin, I couldn't sleep for getting up out of bed and weeping on behalf of that one. Boy, I need that again. I wept for that person. And I prayed. And I warned. And I witnessed. And 10 years later, that person finally got saved. It makes a difference. The Bible said without where there's no vision, people perish. I believe you'll have a burden. I believe if you've got a burden, you'll have a vision of that person coming to church. You know, we see people get saved nowadays. Back in the old days, they used to throw their bonnets up in the air and they used to shout, "Woo! Glory!" And the reason they done it is because they had a burden. They were waiting and watching for that person to come. And no one else but them. It was now a day of rejoicing because they had saw God honored their burden prayer. But if we get to heaven, and right before this chapter is the great white throne judgment. John said, "I saw the small and great stand before God. And I saw him that sat upon the throne, from whose face the heaven and earth fled away, and there's found no place for them." He said, "I saw the books open." He said, "I saw death and hell deliver up those which are in them, and the sea give up the dead which are in them. I saw the books open, and they were judged out of those things written in those books." I don't know if that's the 66 books of the Bible or the records that God said in Malachi, a book of remembrance was written. I don't know. I know the Bible said that we've got angels that report to God on our behalf. And they say Eddie Wade down there needs a spanking. Or Eddie Wade down there needs to be straightened out. He's out of line. And the Bible said, "Whom the Lord loves, He chastens. If He don't chasten, He ain't one of His anyway." But I'll tell you one thing, there's going to be some books open. And I'm not going to be standing for the great white throne judgment, so I'm kind of glad that don't pertain to me. But if you're standing for the great white throne judgment, there's going to be some people standing over there. They're not standing for the great white throne judgment. There are going to be people you worked with, people you lived beside, people you grew up with. You know what they're going to be doing? If you're in that other line, they're going to say, "Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you care enough about me? How is it you had no regard for my soul? Why is it you didn't take time to at least tell me?" You know, I told y'all that one time about that little 18-year-old boy, John. "John, Molly, you said, Eddie, I pumped your gas. You didn't tell me." And I will have his blood on my hands. I know that. I know that for a fact. I know I'll see John. I know I will. And you'll see some people you know. And they'll say, "Why didn't you tell me?" That's why it's an urgent matter. That's why it's pressing. Paul said the love of Christ constrains me. He said it won't let me rest. It keeps me going. It keeps me night and day with tears, witnessing the both small and great. Keeps me going, not setting. But that great white throne judgment, it's not good. It said they were judged of those things written in that book. It said another book was open, which is the book of life. And whosoever was not found written in that book was cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. There's a lot of things that you may not understand, but understand this. If your name's not in that book of life, you're going to the lake of fire, even if you just got out of hell. Can you imagine? Just take, for instance, you're a firefighter. You've been fighting fires all your life. You've been trained how to hold a nozzle of a fire extinguisher, to hold it down at the base of the fire. And you know every aspect of putting a fire out, cut the oxygen off, cut the fuel off, to cool the temperature down, to get it below ignition temperature. You know everything there is to extinguish a fire and end up in hell.
And after spending that time in hell to get out, say, don't ever want to go there. And then stand and be judged guilty and worthy of the lake of fire to be tormented forever and ever and ever. Not only in the lake of fire, be tormented ever and ever and ever. According to Isaiah, I believe it's Isaiah 66, they're actually going to look down there. And they're going to see them down there, Melvin, tormented in that lake of fire. They're going to be able to see them down there. That may have something to do with them tears. But I know one thing, God's going to wipe away all tears. Tears. There won't be no more tears after this. There will be tears, but there'll be no more tears after this. And not only will there be no more tears, there'll be no more death. I don't know about you, but I don't like death. I don't like hearing about someone. Matter of fact, a guy just this week was showing his girlfriend, for what it's worth, he was drunk, but don't hold it against him. He's showing his girlfriend how to handle a gun safely and shot himself and killed himself right in front of her. Two people died smoking marijuana, unheard of. It's not supposed to harm anything. You better be careful what you believe. You better be careful which path you take. That man thought he could handle a gun. He's dead now. Them two boys thought they could smoke a little dope. They're dead now. I wonder what it's going to take. Anyway, there's not going to be no more death there. No more sorrow there. No more crying there. No more pain there. That sounds like heaven to me, amen. Down here, buddy, I want you to know we got plenty of tears. We got plenty of death. We got plenty of sorrow, crying, and pain. Hallelujah! There's a place, amen, where there'll be no more, amen. John's writing all this down. I'm taking all this in. It sounds like home. Man, I don't know about you, but I've seen a lot of suffering. I've seen a lot of death. I've seen a lot of crying. I've seen a lot of pain. There's been a few times I've been speechless because I didn't know what to say or do. It was just too much. But God says, I'll make all things new. And He tells John, He said, write, for these words are true and faithful. And I'll tell you right now, heaven's going to be a place where there'll be no more of that right there. And he describes this city. And I'm looking at the clock and I ain't going to read all of this. But this city here, it's got 12 foundations. It's got walls of jasper. It's got gates of pearl. It's the length and the breadth and the height of its equal. And I want you to know it's a wonderful place. But one thing to note about this city, the streets are gold. Verse 21. And there's no temple therein. And that's kind of good because down here, you know, my daughter has asked me this morning about going to Wesleyan Methodist Church. She said, Daddy, what do they believe? I said, well, I've been there and they believe being saved and living for God. And I said, all churches are a little different in some aspect. But I said, it's all right to go there. And she had cold feet. She said, I'm going to ask my friend to go with me instead of going there. I don't know why she'd say that, but I would have no problem going there. But anyway, there'll be no temple. There'll be no more division. We'll be able to be together. Amen. I don't know about you, but every now and then I want to be together. My wife, she's Scottsville today, Church of God. There'll be no temple therein. We'll be together. There'll be no outbuild there, Margaret. Verse 23 said, ain't no need of the sun. We don't have to worry about the light bill. The nations of them which are saved. You see that in verse 24? If you're saved this morning, you'll walk in the light of this city. If you're not saved this morning, this is not your home. But verse 24 says, and the nation of them which are saved. I'm glad I'm saved this morning. Heaven's a place for the saved. Place of the redeemed. The glory of God lights it. And the Lamb is the light thereof, according to 23. Verse 25, I'm sure the teenagers are like this. There's no night there. And also they'll in no wise enter into this city anything that defileth, neither whatsoever work of abomination or make of a lie, but they which are written in the book of life. No sin there.
Amen.
Sin has come into the church and it's comfortable. You know, we had a guy, and I tried to get him to bring some juvenile delinquents from the prison up here by the parkway up here. And I said, if you're able to get permission and bring them, I said, put them on the front row. I want them right there. I want them right there on the front row. They need some help. That prison, they probably are giving them some help, but I'll tell you right now what will help them, Jesus. They need Jesus. That's the help that'll really help those boys not to be juvenile delinquents no more. It'll help them to know that there's a better life God had in mind for them, not behind steel bars and concrete walls. But I'll tell you right now, there's some help in Jesus. There's some hope in Jesus. But glory to God, if we can just get them to Jesus, amen. But sin now, it can come and sit in the church. And I'll tell you right now, it's comfortable in most churches. Don't preach too loud. Don't preach too long. I'm back here having a good time. I'm texting. I'm doing my checkbook. I'm paring my nails. If that's ever true here, don't let me find out about it. Or Brother Vernon either. There's time for things, and church time ain't it. But anyway, there ought not be no sin in the church, but there for sure ain't going to be none in heaven. And I'm sure if we knew everything there was to know about everybody, we'd all be red-faced this morning. But up in heaven, Brother James, we will know everything. And we'll just a little bit here in Revelation 22. I'm just going to read 5 verses. He said, He showed me a pure river, water of life, no more pollution, clear as a crystal. You know, you take water for granted. They're selling a dollar bottle, and some of it's even higher than a dollar bottle. I never dreamed I'd see a day that they'd sell a bottle of water. Must be the bottle. I pay a water bill. Must be the pipes. Who made the water? Somebody tell me. And why? How is it they can sell it? I guess it's the bottle and the pipes. But anyway, we pay a water bill. And if you want a bottle of water, you'll pay to get that. But up there in heaven, you ain't got to look for those squigglies.
Amen.
Up there in heaven, you ain't got to say, is this okay to drink? It's clear as crystal. When the water does get all polluted, because we're more concerned with that S with the 2 lines on it, reminds me of a bar sale. When they finally have polluted everything, and water's $1,000 a bottle now instead of a dollar a bottle, and they don't mind a bit like that in hell, they'd give $1 million for one drop on their tongue. I'll tell you right now, when they get it where they want it, and they say, this is the only pure water there is. Has anybody got enough money to buy any of it? You'll understand water is going to be a precious commodity when this is all said and done because of man. We're polluting everything. They just had an overspill somewhere, killed everything. Couldn't even take a shower in the water. Couldn't even boil it. They said, don't boil it. Just leave. I don't remember what that was, but that showed you how water can end up being a precious. Well, in heaven, it's clear as a crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, on either side of that river, there were the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations, and there'll be no more curse. You know, I may have cancer right now. I think Brother Vernon said that they done surgery on Linda's daughter. They found out she's got something wrong with her lungs now. And that's probably a byproduct of something we've consumed. Something that we've took into our body that had a curse on it. There'll be no curse up there. So the Marlboro man died. The Maker's Mark man drug himself to death. There'll be no curse. I drunk alcohol. I no doubt put a curse in me. And one day I'll pay for that mistake. But there'll be no curse in heaven. The throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. They shall see His face, and His name shall be in their foreheads. And there'll be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. No end. No sin, no pollution, no end, no division, no cancer, no tears, no pain, no death, no sorrow. My kind of place. If you want to go to heaven, I'll tell you what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to get yourself to Jesus. Because He's the door of heaven. He's the way to heaven. And apart from Him, nobody's going to go. And I'll tell you this morning, I've done been to Jesus. Only regret I got, I wished I'd have got to Him sooner. But maybe you're here this morning, and you're in the valley of decision. Maybe you're at a place where two ways meet. I'll tell you which way to go. Go His way. His way is the easy way. His burden is easy. His yoke is light. His burden's light, His yoke's easy. Thank you, Brother Nevin. Matthew chapter 11. Go His way. If you're here lost this morning, if you're here saved this morning, praise God for heaven. I'd ask everybody to stand and get Brother Nevin, if he would please get us a song. Father, we thank You for just the thought of heaven. Just to be able for a moment to mentally, Lord, to be thinking on things above where Christ sat at the right hand of God. Lord, I pray, dear Father, this morning, Lord, if there's someone here that's not going to be in that blessed place, may they make preparation today before it's everlasting too late. And I'm sure, Lord, the devil's right now fighting them. I pray You rebuke him. And I pray he'd lose his grip upon their will is to make preparation to be in heaven. Amen. You need to come this morning. Hey, listen. He's never very far from any one of us. He's not only seeking, but ready to save. You need to come this morning. Come right now. You want to go to heaven? Come tell Jesus. If you don't want to miss heaven, you better tell Jesus. Charlotte likes that song, Wait a Little Longer, Jesus. He's not going to wait. When the time comes, He's coming. He that's ready is leaving. He that's filled is staying. Bless you, William. Lord, I thank You for Brother William. I thank You, Father, for the godly example of this beloved brother. Lord, he comes up here just to show how easy. Lord, no doubt he comes up here just to thank You for being his Savior, his Lord. Bless Brother William. Bless him, Lord. You need to come this morning. Why don't you find yourself up here beside Brother William? You and God talk for a minute. That's what I did. I came to Jesus. How do I come, brother? Ain't just like you are. You gonna try to clean yourself up? Good luck. You gonna try to change yourself? Good luck. God said, come just like you are. Let Him clean you up. Let Him change you. He can do it. Spread wide thine arms of love. Lord, I'm coming home. You need to come this morning. Come right now. Make one step. God will help you make the next. Come right now. Why miss heaven? Why hear about heaven? Why think about heaven? And not enough about it. You tell me. God made heaven. He said, John 14, He made it for you. He said, I'll go away for a place for you. He made heaven for you. If you want to go to heaven, come to Jesus and say, I want my name in that book. I want my sins under Your blood. I want a place in heaven. It's what I ask You. He said, all that come to Me, I'll in no wise cast. turn away. He's rich in mercy to all that call upon Him. He said, today, if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. He said, today is the day of salvation. Won't you come this morning? If you don't come this morning, you might as well play roulette. Will it go? It's about that dangerous. Come on. Coming home evermore to roam over wide wide arms of the Lord. I'm coming home. Hold on just a second, Brother Melvin. Is there anybody here that asks we sing one more verse of invitation to Him? That you might have a home in heaven. If you want that, you raise your hand. If not, we'll stop right here. I'm going to let you make that decision. If you raise that hand up, I'll have Brother Melvin. He'll sing another verse of invitation to Him. God will see your hand. And He'll say, hallelujah. The Bible said up in heaven there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents. More than 99 just persons have no need of repentance. Are you here this morning and you're that close? Why not just go on and go all the way? Why let the devil get you that close to heaven and then rob you? Are you here this morning, Brother Eddie? Would you please sing one more verse of invitation on Him? Thank God for that hand. Brother Melvin, if you would please pick another invitation on Him or another verse. God bless you, Donnie. I'd like to ask someone to come here and pray with Brother Donnie. Is there another here this morning? I appreciate Donnie. Ask the Lord to save you.
I am.
You have?
I am.
Ask Him, say, Lord,
Lord,
I want to know I'm saved.
I
want You right now to give me the knowledge of salvation in my heart that I can know today that if I was to die today, I'd go to heaven. Lord, I pray You grant this petition. Grant it, Lord, to Donnie. Lord, he wants to be saved. Lord, You're the only one that can give that blessed assurance. You're the only one that can save. There's no other name given among men. There's no other door, no other way. I pray on behalf of Donnie today, Lord, that You'll put down in his heart not only assurance to know that he's saved, but the blessedness of being saved. I pray right now, Father, for the victory, Lord, from on high. Lord, to come down in His place, put Your truth. I ask You, dear Lord, that those, Lord, He come up here for that purpose. He come up here, Lord, to ask You. Come up here, Lord, because He don't want to miss Him, but He wants to go to heaven. I pray, Lord, You make that possible here this morning. Bless Brother Vernon, Lord, here praying with us, Lord. Your word says that any two of you on earth shall agree in touching anything, it'll be done by our Father in heaven. Lord, we don't pray on behalf of God, but Lord, what He needs, only You can do. I pray, Lord, dear Father, even right now, Lord, You'd give Donnie that blessed assurance.
Help Him,
Lord, I pray. Lord, to
know.
Lord, not to wonder. Not to even, Lord, doubt. But, Lord, I pray to be able to say, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory to mine. Give, I pray, unto Donnie that which he seeks. Lord, You're the only one that can.
Lord, to reach up to You.
Ask Him, Donnie, forgive me of sins.
Forgive me of my sins, Lord.
Oh, wash and cleanse me from all sin.
I've asked Him that, Eddie.
And save my soul here today.
And save my soul here today.
Lord, give Donnie the faith, Lord, to believe what he just asked You.
Because
we know, Lord, dear Father, without faith it's impossible to please You. The Bible said he that comes to God must believe that He is, and He's the reward of them that diligently seek Him. Give him, Lord, Lord, believe in faith and save in faith, Lord, that he can receive You by faith. Help his unbelief, Lord. Lord, we just pray that this morning, Lord. We know, Lord, this is the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Lord, Christians on the altar praying on behalf of one, Lord, that's in the valley of decision. One, Lord, that has a desire in their heart, Lord, to know the Lord. Lord, we're battling, Father, together in prayer. Lord, we pray, dear Father God, here today. Lord, on this, I think it's March the 2nd, Lord, day of 2014, God, I wish, Lord, You'd give, Lord, that victory today to Donnie.
Yeah,
Lord, we ask it, Father. We ask it, Lord, because only You can give it. Lord, You're the only one that can save. We pray you will save Donnie here today.
Yes, Lord.
Oh,
say, Lord, I'll give my life to you. Yes, I'll live the rest of my life for thee.
Bless him, Lord, I pray.
Serve you the best I know how.
I appreciate Donnie, Lord. I appreciate, Lord.
Can you trust him?
Faithfully coming, Lord. Faithfully seeking him. Faithfully, Lord, praying and asking him. Honor, Lord, like Cornelius, I pray his arms today. Honor him, Lord. Lord, save him, Lord.
Help him have a faith, Lord.
It has a lot to do with me. I don't have. I need more faith. And I think that's.
Grant that, Father.
Bless him, Lord.
The devil was taking the faith away from me.
Help him, Lord, break loose from it.
And I just believe in all my heart. I don't have enough faith, and I think that's the devil.
Yeah, that's right. Help him, Lord. Have a faith. Trust you all your heart.
I believe.
You believe in all
my heart. I believe, but I don't have enough faith, and I think that's the devil's strong in me.
Oh, yes, he is. God's stronger.
I pray every day, but I'm lacking faith.
Yeah.
Bless you, Donnie.
I get confused.
Donnie, the Lord's the one brought you up here, wasn't he?
Yes.
All right. Do you think he would bring you up here if he couldn't save you?
I've never once thought that he couldn't save me. I don't know how to explain it. I need more faith. I need. See, the devil's making me doubt a lot of stuff.
Right.
They come to him. Must believe that he is.
I do believe. That's not what I'm saying.
You believe he can save you?
Yes, I believe he can save me. But I need. I need faith. Yes, I have.
So you had enough faith to ask him, you just ain't got enough faith to believe him to do it? Is that what you're saying?
I don't know if I'm saying that right or not. And that sounds stupid. No. But I know that he can save me.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, buddy, you're doing everything right.
Keep forsaking.
Appreciate you raising that hand. Appreciate you coming forward. I'll tell you right now, God, he honors faith.
That's right.
And he honors obedience.
Are you laying everything out? No. Are you willing to give up everything?
No.
Or is there something you're not willing to?
There's things that I'm holding out.
All right, then you won't be saved.
The old songs that
there's your problem. It's not a lack of faith.
I'm trying to be honest.
Then you're not in a lack of faith.
You've got to lay it all out, Lord.
It's a good training.
Regardless of the cost, whatever.
Yeah.
You can't hold back one thing.
Not a thing.
There's the material things that I think that I've got to get straight. And
you'll never straighten them out.
And I've got to have more faith.
You've got to let them go.
Let
like
God
I'm
take
saying.
Care of that. I mean, I know that, but it's things that...
You've got to let them go, buddy.
That's right.
Yeah, the devil feed you all the line you want.
That's right. Bring them.
I guess the bottom line is I am not going to be no hypocrite. When I tell you I'm saved, it's going to be that way.
Yeah,
we want it to be that
That's
way.
That's right. It's supposed to be.
And I know what y'all saying, and I believe every word you say. I believed in God all my life.
Yeah.
That's the way I was raised.
Yeah.
But there's something that...
You're not willing to sell out all the way, are you?
There's something I'm holding on to that I seem like I need to get straight.
Yeah.
And get everybody. I'm afraid people will be mad at me if I don't get everything straight. And I ain't making no sense, am I?
So what, buddy? Appreciate you raising your hand. Appreciate you coming forward. You just keep seeking the Lord and praying. You've done everything you're supposed to do this morning. Yeah. Only God can do that rest part. But Vernon's right.
But they've been something working on me.
You got to let it all go. It's a good trade too. He'll give you better than what you got.
Well, I think he's showed me a lot here lately.
Yeah.
Let me say I appreciate Donnie coming forward.
I was afraid to go to sleep. I couldn't even go to sleep at night. I was afraid I wouldn't wake up. Now why didn't I go ahead and accept the Lord then? There's some I can't explain.
I can't answer that. You know the answer though.
I'm trying to be honest.
I appreciate you raising that hand back there. It probably wasn't an easy thing to do.
I appreciate y'all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's not really a hard thing to do. The hard part is what I gotta do.
Yeah. Donnie raised his hand and it was at the last minute, but I'll tell you what, he done something this morning. He showed his serious about his soul, and he come forward and asked God. And I do believe God honors that. I've seen several men
make a stride like that to draw closer to God. I believe God honors that kind of effort. Pray for Donnie. He's got a couple of things he's battling. He said he don't want to be a hypocrite. When he gets saved, he wants to be all the way, and I don't know no other way. But pray for Donnie. Anybody got a word in your heart this morning? Why is this hard? Amen.